If you're a first-time parent, it's likely that you've never been in a delivery room. Or if you have, you might have not paid attention to the equipment or protocols because you may have been supporting or visiting a laboring mom. But now it's your turn, and you're not sure what to expect. Today, we'll discuss the ins and outs of the delivery room. This is Preggy Pals.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself.
I'm pregnant. And I have to exercise?
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit! I've got kinkles!
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms, and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
Welcome to Preggy Pals. Preggy Pals is your online, on-the-go support group for expecting parents and those hoping to become pregnant. I'm your host, Stephanie Glover. Did you know that we've recorded over 140 episodes? We've covered topics for every phase of pregnancy. Visit the episode guide on our website to scroll through those topics. You can listen directly on your computer, through iTunes, or download our free apps available in the Android, iTunes, and Windows Marketplace. And be sure to check out our network app, where you can listen to all your favorite new mommy media shows on the go. Here's Sunny with details about how you can get involved with Preggy Pals.
All right. Hi, everybody. So thanks for listening to Preggy Pals. We love producing this show for you guys, and we really do believe that this is your show, and we want you to be as involved with the show as you feel comfortable. And so there's a couple ways that you can do that. First of all, you can participate in our shows as a parent, come on the shows and chat about some of the topics that we talk about on the show. There's more information on our website about that. It's real easy to sign up, and then you can get updates on when we're recording. Also, we have segments that we do. We have a couple for each episode that we do. And a lot of these you can participate in. You can send us your stories. We've got various segments on the website. I will highlight just a couple of them right now. And these are different ways that you can be involved in our show. So we have a segment called Pregnancy Oops. Okay, so these are funny pregnancy stories. We all have them, right? Funny things, that happen to us or to our babies, whatever, throughout pregnancy that, you kind of want to share with an audience. So that's one segment you can submit stories for. If you see interesting headlines. I'm always out there like looking for headlines, pregnancy headlines. Like I got like my little Google alert all set up for interesting headlines. But if you see something that you would like us to chat about on the show, we talk about headlines quite a bit. So send us the link. You can post it on our Facebook page and we can find out about it that way. If you have questions for our experts, this could be about a particular episode we did or just pregnancy questions in general. Of course, if it's something that's really important, consult with your medical care provider. Okay. But if this is something that is more general. The way that we do this is you send us your questions and we team up with some of the experts that have been on our show in the past who are interested in answering questions from our listeners. And we read your question, they answer it, and then we put that on an episode because we think that if you have this question, odds are other people are going to have this question as well. And why not share that information with everyone? So if you want to leave the question yourself, we'd love to actually hear your voice. I know concept, right? We like send emails all the time and like nobody's communicating with their voice. But we would like to hear your voice. So one way that you can do that is through our website. There's a gray banner on all the pages of New Mommy Media. It says send voicemail. So click on that banner. You can actually use the mic that's built right into your computer and just leave us a quick voicemail. If that's not your thing, you can still send an email or again, reach out to us on our Facebook page to give us those questions and we'll get them answered.
Great. Thank you so much, Sunny. So today, let's get to know each other a little bit better and introduce ourselves. We'll go around and learn more about one another. I'll start. My name is Stephanie Glover. I am the host of Preggy Pals. I'm also a childbirth educator and mom of two. My daughter, Gretchen, who's 4 and a half, was born via unplanned cesarean. And my 2.5-year-old daughter, Lydia, was my VBAC baby.
And I'm Sunny, and I have 4 kiddos. Only my first, though, do I have experience with doing the whole delivery room thing. That was a vaginal birth, and so I was in a delivery room for, 14 hours or so after they admitted me? So I don't know. I guess that's pretty average. The rest of my babies were C-section, so I kind of went, straight to the prep room and then to OR. But I do have some experience with today's topic.
Great. And my name is Nina Spears. I am a baby planner, birth doula, postpartum doula, childbirth educator, massage therapist, you name it. And I am the co-founder and CEO of Baby Chick and founder and CEO of Bassett Baby Planning.
Awesome. Welcome.
All right, so before we kick off our show today, we do have a segment where we read your iTunes reviews. So a lot of you guys find us in iTunes. We're on a bunch of different platforms where you can get podcasts. So pretty much any platform you listen to us on has a review program, and I do try to monitor all of them. iTunes is one where, you know, it's a little bit easier for me to find the responses, though. So if you are listening to us through iTunes, we would love for you to review our show, because this is how other people find out about other shows that are available on iTunes, right? If you like this show, you might like this show. And so this is how it turns up in search results. So I like to give props to the moms out there and dads who have left us some reviews. So this one, I don't know if you guys realize, if you're new listeners to Preggy Pals, Stephanie's been hosting for a while, but I actually originally hosted the show. And so I think this comes from a listener who may be starting at the beginning of the shows, because she makes some specific references to me, but I haven't hosted the show for a while. But here's what it says. This comes from Starry Night Sunlight, and she gave Preggy Pals 5 stars. She said, love it. That's her title. And then she says, I love this podcast. The information is useful. Sunny's voice is so warm and friendly. Her compassion and caring really shines through. Thank you to everyone who is involved in making this podcast possible. It seriously motivates me to go work out so I can listen. I love that. I think that that's great. Obviously, I appreciate the personal comments. But yeah, we as a team really try to make the show the best we possibly can. And I totally get you, because I am one of those people that listens to podcasts when I'm working out. I like, you know, I wake up extra early and, you know, try to hit the elliptical in our house. We have a pretty nice one that I can hop on in the morning before my kiddos wake up. And that's what I do too. I'm a podcast listener on the treadmill or, you know, on the elliptical or whatever. So I totally get it. But yeah, just appreciate the love. This is really what keeps us going and producing these shows week after week. And so I'm really glad that this worked for you. And so again, keep the reviews coming, guys. We love it. Even if there's something that you think we can change and get better at, like, no one, you know, got better just from positive comments, right? So we're all about learning and growing right along with our audience. So again, thanks for the iTunes review, and hopefully we'll get more in the future.
And I agree. You have a great voice. Very warm.
Oh, you're so sweet. I don't know. I kind of feel weird reading it. It's like, pat on my back. But yeah, no, I do appreciate it. It's awesome.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Today on Preggy Pals, we're chatting with Nina Spears, co-founder and CEO of Baby Chick. Nina is a baby planner, birth doula, postpartum doula, childbirth educator, massage therapist, and so much more. What the resume, right?
I know, right?
She has helped over 500 families prepare and care for their babies and is here to provide us with more information about what to expect in the delivery room. So welcome to Preggy Pals, Nina.
Oh, thank you so much, Stephanie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yay. So while each hospital might vary a little, right? I mean, yeah, they're all a little different. But can you walk us through sort of a virtual tour of what a hospital delivery room typically looks like?
Absolutely. So once you leave triage and are admitted into a labor and delivery room, which I call L&D room, when you first walk in, you may notice that there's a privacy screening sheet that you can move, so that way you have privacy if anyone were to walk into your room and maybe it's the wrong room that they're walking into. But the first things that you really notice are obviously the L&D bed. Then you're going to notice that there's a recliner or a rocking chair for your support person to be able to sit in, a small couch that pulls down for someone to sleep on. There's a baby warming unit. So whenever the baby's born and after doing having hopefully some skin to skin. Baby can go to the warming unit and be weighed and measured. There's usually an IV pole, monitoring equipment and screens, a computer for your nurse, the little station that they have in there. In that room, there's a sink for you or your support people to wash their hands, cabinets that store extra towel sheets, tux pads, more. There's usually a connected room, which I can tell you more about. And then there's also bright lights, a whiteboard for nurses to write down information about you and who's on call that night, when their shift ends, maybe the next nurse that's coming in, a clock on the wall, a couple extra chairs, and maybe even a birthing ball for you to sit on and get your labor on.
Awesome. Yeah. Sounds like quite a lot. And probably when you walk into a room, you're not even really recognizing what everything is for.
Yeah, exactly. Most people are like, okay, where do I go? What right. do I do?
Okay, I see the bed. I'll go there.
Exactly.
And do they give you like a gown to put on?
Absolutely. So if you do go into triage, they usually give you a gown at that point okay. for you to change into, unless you have something that you want to wear on your own. There's plenty of other birthing gowns that you can purchase yourself. But if you don't, they will definitely give you a birthing gown to change into.
Sunny, did you go to triage first with your first delivery, or did you go straight to a delivery room?
No, I did. I did because they had to check me. They weren't, you know, sure how far. They weren't sure if they were going to admit me. You know, they had right. to like make sure I was at least, what is that, three? I can't remember now. Three or four
yeah,
centimeters?
Exactly. Yeah. They yeah. want to make sure that there's plenty of women who are like, oh, my water broke, but really it didn't break. Or, oh, I'm having intense contractions, but they're not really in active labor yet. So they don't want to admit someone into an L&D room and then have to clean it all up again because, you know, it needs to be sanitary and safe for a woman that's going to be admitted. So they usually do triage first just to make sure that, you know, you really are in labor. And then once you get that green light, they transfer you to your new room.
Well, when I first was brought into the room, they determined that I was only 2 centimeters dilated. And so what they had me do, and I'm sure a lot of women can relate mm-hmm. to this, they had me walk the halls for an hour.
Oh, wow.
I think it was a whole hour they asked me to walk for. I know that's what it ended up being, whether they may have made me do it for an hour and then check me again. I can't really remember, but I remember the total was an hour and I would literally just walk around because they knew that it was coming. It just, you know, I don't know, according to their rules, it had to be at a certain stage before they would, you know, kind of let me come in and actually go into the room. And so when I finally did make it into the delivery room, it was a welcome feeling because I felt like I was just like in this weird walking around the hall mode and I didn't really have a home. So I was really happy to finally
It's like, yes, I made the cut.
Exactly. I did. Because I was scared they were going to send me back home because I knew, yeah. you know, I was at this point, I was 40 weeks and 2 days. So I knew this was go time, yeah. you know, and I didn't want to have to do this back and forth. We were already there. So I was just praying that the walking was helping. And it did. It did. Within an hour, I think I at least opened up like another centimeter.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I always crack up and I know I'm going on a tangent, but I've never been in a triage room because, I actually thought labor was sort of happening and my doctor's office was close enough to the hospital that she said, just come here first. She checked me and I was 4 centimeters. So she just ordered a room for me.
Oh,
so I got
nice.
To the L&D floor and they had one ready and they checked me again. I was 5. So I wasn't going anywhere. And then my second pregnancy was fast and furious. And I showed up on a gurney in the ER.
Oh
I did not need triage because it was clear that I was pushing a baby out. So I always chuckle a little because I'm like, I would like to know what a triage room looks like. Now, Nina, are delivery rooms private?
Yes. So triage rooms, sometimes they are private and sometimes they're not. But labor and delivery rooms, most of the time, every hospital that I've been into, and I've been to probably 20 different hospitals, they all are private rooms. So that's really nice because then a woman can feel safe to change, you know, be naked, to
make noises,
whatever she wants to do. She can feel comfortable in her own room.
And you mentioned that sometimes there's a room off the delivery room or an adjoining room.
Yeah, I was just saying that there's a bathroom. So sometimes people think, oh, do you share a bathroom? And yes, there is a bathroom. So it has a toilet, a shower. Some bathrooms do not have tubs, but some do. And if you do, that's great because some of them have jets and that's amazing if you can use that as a form of relaxation. But yeah, so there is an off room where you can change, use the restroom. And it's also nice to be able to just change the scenery. If you don't want to be walking the halls, you can just at least go to the restroom restroom, and it's usually a larger restroom. You can go in there and just change the scenery a bit.
I remember taking my hospital tour, and one of the nurses giving the tour said, the bathrooms, they're a little small. And I remember looking in and being like, I could do cartwheels in these bathrooms.
Exactly.
Because I do think they do need to be large enough where if your support person's going in there, and helping you in the shower or whatever. So while they may seem small in certain scales, I remember thinking they were large and fabulous.
Yeah.
And so who might be assisting the woman when she's in the delivery room? What staff can she expect to see?
Oh my goodness. Well, obviously the people that you come in with, so your support team. But once you get admitted into a room, you will meet your nurse that's assigned specifically to your room. There are shifts, so it may change at that point, but you will meet your first L&D nurse. You'll also meet some other nurses that need to take, blood samples. They have to get you to sign paperwork. So they may be a nurse or two or three kind of asking you questions, getting you all checked in. And there might be a resident that comes in or even your doctor just to walk in, see how you're doing at that point. But mainly it's just you and your nurse that's going to be in your room.
Okay. And yeah, and sometimes you might not see your doctor more till like the active part of pushing, correct?
Correct. And okay. Even at that point, sometimes doctors don't come until you're actually crowning. So the nurse will call once you're finally getting baby low enough that, okay, it's time for you to come in and catch baby. So yeah, it can be at the very end.
I have to say with mine, I remember the OB coming in, and this was even before I had my epidural. I'm not very big on pain, by the way. So when I was roaming the halls and stuff, I was in a lot of pain. And so by the time they got me in there, I was like, where is the anesthesiologist? Like, I need my epidural. And so the OB first came in, I remember I was still in a lot of pain. So it's before the anesthesiologist came in the room. And she had actually seen me before in some, the medical care provider system that I'm in, it wasn't guaranteed that whoever did all your prenatal was going to deliver your baby. And so right. I had actually had one appointment with her prior. So she recognized me and we kind of did a little, hi, I'm in labor, kind of thing. And she's like, okay, so you want to see your anesthesiologist? I'm like, yes, please. And so I saw her initially, and then I don't think I really saw her unless she came in like, in the middle of the night or something when I was sleeping or whatever. I really didn't see her again until it was go time.
Right. That's so normal. And I think a lot of women are kind of surprised that, oh my goodness, this person that I built a relationship with over my pregnancy, I hardly see them on my birthing day. Are you kidding?
Yeah, it seems strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of women put a lot of weight on, I'm choosing this doctor because I want this doctor there for the delivery. But really, it could just be that they're there for about 20 minutes out of maybe the 18 hours you're laboring or whatever. Yeah,
which this is a good time to plug doulas for that very reason, right?
Yeah. Well, also, I constantly tell the families that I work with as a doula that it really comes down to if you have a good nurse. Because yes, you can pick your doctor and, you can meet the people that they work with, who's going to be on call if they aren't. But you have no idea who your nurse is going to be. And so getting a good nurse could really mean, change things up for you for your birthing time.
And now upon arriving to the delivery room, you're staying, what can mom and partner expect to sort of do first? Like you get in there, then what do you do?
Yeah. So like I said before, when you first get in, normally, your partner is kind of getting everything where it needs to be, putting all the bags away, and the mom is going to the bed. First things first, they usually get the monitors on her just to see, how her contractions are going, how baby's doing. They may do a cervical check if they didn't do that in triage, just to see, what your dilation, effacement, and station is of baby. And that at that point, they're going to start your IV because they need to get some fluids in you. Or if you are wanting a more natural birth, then they would do a HepLock, so you don't necessarily need to have an IV started. They would have to draw blood to make sure that, your blood counts are good, and tons of signatures, sign this paperwork, answer these questions. So those are the first things that really happen that can take quite a while.
Okay. Yeah. How often can mom expect to be assessed by the care providers while she's in the delivery room?
Great question. It really depends on the woman. Most typical labors, they like to assess every 2 hours because their rule of thumb is they want to make sure that you are dilating a centimeter per hour. However, clients that I've also worked with that want a natural birth, they really request, I don't want to be checked until I ask for it or I feel the urge to push. Because the more cervical checks that you have, the more risk that you have for infection. And, you know, you want to try and reduce any type of, you know, issues that you and baby could experience. So it really depends on what type of birth that you want and the provider that you have.
And you mentioned, you know, that your nurse is so important. Should you catch yourself being cared for by a nurse that maybe you're not vibing with, or you have a different opinion on how you want your care to be given? What can an expectant mom or her partner do in that situation if they're unhappy with the current nurse?
Yes. A lot of people don't know this, but if you are just not vibing with your nurse, it is okay for your support team, your partner, your mom or friend to go to the charge nurse, go to the nurse's station and ask for a new nurse. You only get to have this baby one time. This is your experience. It should be everything that you want it to be. And if you are not getting the support that you want, no matter how you want to birth your baby, you definitely can request a new nurse. And I highly recommend it because you only get this one time. So you can ask for a new one if you're just not gelling together.
Yeah, I think it's important. Yeah, because if you're creating your own birthing space, you want to be able to have some say and not feel stressed out.
Exactly. You already are going through so much stress and labor. Right. You don't want to add an extra component that really just isn't helping the situation. And actually, the more stress that you're under, the slower your labor goes because your mind is telling your body, and we are not in a safe place to give birth. So the more that you feel relaxed and comfortable and safe, the faster labor can go. So it's a huge component of who's in your room and how comfortable you feel.
And a great rollover into, when we're talking about the atmosphere of a low stress environment, what can parents do in the delivery room to sort of make it their own? Do they have any options with lighting, with temperature, other ways to sort of create a more calming space?
Absolutely. They do have full access to lighting, so they can turn down the lights if they really want a more peaceful, tranquil space. They can bring music. A lot of labor and delivery rooms now have iPod stations where you can plug in your iPod or your MP3 player and play music to really kind of set the tone. You have full control of your thermostat in your room. So it's very common for women to get extremely cold and then a few minutes later have hot flashes. So for you to be able to have that access to the thermostat and make it comfortable to you, absolutely. You know, you can bring your own scents. So aromatherapy is really big. So sometimes labor doesn't smell the best. So having things that can, you know, brighten up the room a little bit, also help you give you energy or help you relax more, that's really great. And I've even had some clients of mine bring their own like pictures, maybe a picture of their sonogram or a picture of their children, just to remember what it is that they're doing in that space and make it feel a little bit more like home.
I've heard of people like putting something over the clock too.
Yes, absolutely. Because people look at the clock way too much and
over
it. Thing like, oh my gosh, it has only been 30 minutes and I thought it was 3 hours. So putting something over the clock can be helpful.
And Sunny, did you do anything in your delivery room to change the atmosphere?
I don't really think so. I mean, but I really did appreciate being able to have control like of the lighting and stuff. I think this is really important when you have a little bit longer labor. And, you know, I went in at about 7 o'clock or something like that. And so it got dark pretty quick. And then the majority, you know, I mean, even though I had my epidural, you know, I was still laboring throughout the night, you know. And so it was nice to be able to control that. And I know we actually did a whole episode on Preggy Pals about how to create a calm birth environment. So if you guys are interested on thinking of some ideas on ways to do that. I wasn't as creative. I was actually one of those people that I even forgot my birth plan at home. I was winging the whole thing with that first baby. I was just...
There's something exciting about it, though, too. You know, it's all new, but it's kind of, it's exciting. It's like the end of the road. And yeah, I think it's really important for women. The temperature stands out for me because I remember temperature was a gauge in my mind, particularly comparing it, my second delivery to my first, and that when I'd get really, really, really hot, I knew some things were majorly happening in terms of progress.
Yeah.
So that was like a great indication, and it was encouraging, albeit uncomfortable. And then I remember like once I got my epidural, I got really cold and we were like cranking the heat and covered in blankets, but loving that we had the option to make sure that I was comfortable. uncomfortable. So I think women going in understanding that you get to play around with that. You don't have to settle for being uncomfortable in your room. So
absolutely.
When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Nina about what to expect in the delivery room during childbirth and just after. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Today we're talking to our expert, Nina Spears of Baby Chick, about what to expect in the delivery room. So we've talked about features of the room and what to expect while laboring, but let's move on to what to expect in the delivery room during delivery. So once delivery begins, are there changes to the staff in the room? We touched on that a little bit, but equipment that's brought in, or are any of the existing room surroundings changing for that moment?
Yes, definitely. So as I was saying before, normally it's just you and your nurse and the support people. But once it's go time and it's ready for, you know, your baby's delivery, a lot more people start coming in. Normally they bring in a cart that has all of the medical equipment and materials that they'll need for the delivery. And like I said, more people will start coming in. So there will be a scrub tech, there'll be a baby nurse, there may be a couple other nurses to help with mom. Then if baby's maybe not doing so well, maybe there's babies having some D cells, a whole neonatal team will come in. So there'll be a doctor and two nurses specifically for the baby. There may be one or two residents in the room if you did allow residents to be in there. And there's so many more. So it could be 4 new people walking into your room to 9 different people walking into your room from the moment that you were ready to start pushing.
So a couple of things. You mentioned a cart with equipment for the delivery. What types of equipment or tools would be on that cart?
Yeah, absolutely. So they have everything just in case they may need it. So it would have a vacuum or forceps or a scalpel, stitching equipment, gauze to help with, helping any lacerations, things like that, that they need to, you know, quickly help get baby out or repair anything after birth.
Okay. And then you also mentioned, residents may be in the room should you allow it. So I'm assuming that would be at a teaching hospital.
Yes, it would be at a teaching hospital, but I feel like a lot more hospitals are now allowing residents or new doctors to come in and watch.
Okay.
So that is something that I would have on your birth plan if that is something that you don't feel comfortable with, if you don't want someone to watch, you know, your birth. I mean, the birth that I was at last night, since she was doing it all natural, there were several people coming in because they hadn't had a natural birth in a long time. So they just wanted to watch. So, I mean, if you don't feel comfortable with that, you definitely need to speak up.
That's interesting. I had my VBAC at a teaching hospital, and I actually did specify I did not want residents just because I didn't want any additional like strangers in the room because I did not want to be observed. But at the same time, I knew that if I was going to roll over into a repeat C-section, to have a party, you know, like learn all you can because at that point I'm just laying there.
Exactly. But it's so true. I feel like a lot of women, when they're in labor, they feel like they're this goldfish in a bowl and everyone is watching them and they almost have to like perform. And the more eyes on you, it can just be really daunting and again, kind of stall out the whole process because that's a lot of pressure.
One thing I was going to add is this can also happen if you're having a cesarean, because I, with my twins, we knew it was going to be a cesarean and they ended up coming a little bit early, but still we ended up having a cesarean. And I remember, when I was being prepped for the OR and stuff, a doctor coming in and saying, hey, do you mind so-and-so, you know, they're, you know, is it okay? Do we have your permission? And I'm not sure if they were actually there because it was a twin birth or if they were just trying to learn, you know, just about the process of cesareans. But, it goes both ways. So if you end up, you know, going for a vaginal birth and then you need a cesarean, just keep in mind they could, you know, they could still have people in there for a cesarean birth as well.
And then could you tell us more about what to expect with the lighting? Because I think sometimes that can be a shocker. Some time to push.
Yes. So when you first walk into the room, they may have all the lights on. And as we were saying before, you can have control over those lights. So if you do have them dimmer and then all of a sudden it's ready to go for pushing, they do usually have a drop down light or a spotlight in the ceiling that will be directed straight to the main area. So women are kind of like, wow, there is literally a, you know, Broadway light shining on my vagina and we're ready to go, aren't we?
I remember just thinking that really is a bright light and I'm feeling particularly vulnerable right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you can see a lot too, because you know, and you may be going to ask this, Stephanie, in just a second, but you can have that mirror brought to you if you really want to watch yourself give birth. And for me, that was actually really, really helpful. I wanted to see the progress that I was making. And after a while, it almost became like an out of body experience, because it didn't really seem like it was happening to me. It was such a strange concept to see this being coming out of me that I almost went into a different place, you know, but it was having that mirror and the spotlight went along with that. Yeah, it's a little jarring at first, but after a while, if you're trying to see what's going on, it's really helpful.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. You know? I feel like so many of my clients, they're like, no, I do not need to see, you know, I don't need a front seat of seeing what's going down there and seeing my parts kind of open in ways I didn't know it could. But then I swear, as soon as some women see it and they realize, you know, where they should push and the progress that they're making, you're right. It kind of switches another gear and they do so much better. So I definitely, you know, encourage women, hey, if you're open to it, try it. I mean, but if not, that's okay too.
Yeah. I had a mirror as well with my VBAC, and it helped me feel very in tune with everything, because I had an epidural that was quite mild because I got it at 10+2.
Yikes.
So I felt everything still, just slightly took the edge off, right?
Yeah.
So I liked being able to see what I was feeling and make adjustments that way. So I thought that it was a really cool option. So what can parents expect after the delivery? What happens in the room once baby's out?
Great. Yes. Once baby is born, and assuming that, you know, mom and baby are both doing well, baby is put right on mom's chest. They usually, depending if you're wanting to delay cord clamp or if, you know, that doesn't matter to you, they will clamp baby's cord and they will have a scissors ready and give it to either your support person, or if you're partner just is kind of grossed out by that, they will cut your umbilical cord. So then that way you can have some skin to skin time with baby. At that point, then the doctor's kind of seeing if you have any tears or anything that they need to get ready to fix, as well as seeing if your placenta is detaching and that things are going well with that. So a lot of women think, oh, I had my baby, I'm done. No, you still have your afterbirth and then the recovery afterwards. So those are the different things that they can expect after baby's born.
I think the afterbirth was sort of a blur because you've got this baby on you that you're so fascinated by. Yes. I don't know about you, Sunny. Do you remember much about, like, once baby's out, about the room or any of that after?
Yeah, well, I remember the doctor was still working down there, mm-hmm. doing her thing. I mean, I was so enamored with the fact, you know, that I had this baby. You're sure. Right. Your attention is diverted. But then I had also, you know, learned enough, you know, in doing these kind of podcasts to know that it wasn't quite done. What I really appreciated in having the epidural is that, and I really don't know what the experience is otherwise, so maybe Stephanie, you can share some light on this. But I really, you know, because I was so enamored with my baby, and because I had the epidural, even though they were working down there, I actually had a second degree tear. So they had to do some stitching and stuff like that. But it wasn't anything I could feel or anything. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, the woman that had these natural births, do you feel all that down there? Is your body just so numb? Like, I don't know, maybe Nina has some feedback on that. I was always so concerned. I'm like, those poor women still have to feel all of that going into it?
Well, they definitely don't, because they make sure that they put some lidocaine down there where you had some tears. So you'll feel like a bee sting whenever they, you know, put some lidocaine to kind of numb that area. And then they will start doing their repairs. So then it should just feel like a tugging, but it shouldn't be pain.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and I did have the epidural. So like I always say, like I felt my baby come out, but like I never felt the ring of fire. So it was like the any like burning or pinching sensation I did not feel, though I did feel like the movement of her passage, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it really just slightly took the edge off, which I think was pretty amazing. So I had a third degree tear, and they were down there for a while, but I was having a party. I didn't care. They could have been down there for a day. My doula was feeding me a Lara bar, and like I was nursing my, like, you know, sticky baby, and I just didn't care.
Someone was feeding you grapes, and there were palm leaves in there.
Pretty much. my experience, I didn't really feel too much, but I've heard that. Or like you're just so doped up on the love hormone that, and your body has just been through so much that a few extra pinches isn't really too much at that point.
So. That's true. I guess I feel like with subsequent babies that, you know, the afterbirth and your uterus having to, you know, start stopping the bleeding and, you know, try to go back to at least a cantaloupe size, it's a bit more painful for women to kind of through that process with the more children that you have. So I feel like I see women, they're like, oh my goodness, yes, I have this baby. And oh my goodness, that's intense right there. So first babies, not so much. They are so enamored with their little one, but second, third, fourth babies, it might get a little more uncomfortable.
Yeah. Once the epidural wore off and the nursing commenced, I was breathing through it like labor pain.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. And people are like, I thought I was done. I'm like, no, honey, I'm sorry.
And I wonder too, do you know, Nina, for moms that were pregnant with multiples, is that because I would imagine everything would be even bigger? Do they go through a longer period of time then of the uterus contracting because they had more than one baby?
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily a longer time. It is a little bit longer, but it's just a lot more intense.
You think it's more intense?
I was going to say more intense because when you're breastfeeding, that's, you know, causing you to have oxytocin, which is the hormone that causes you to feel love, and it causes your uterus to contract and cramp to get back to its normal state. So it can be a bit more painful for moms of multiples.
Nina, how long can a mom and babe and partner expect to be in the delivery room before they're moved over into like a recovery room?
Yeah, most of the time they keep you in your labor and delivery room for the first 2 hours. And then after 2 hours, they would move you to a postpartum room. That can vary though, because if all of their postpartum rooms are completely filled, they may have you stay there a bit longer. But typically, they keep you there for 2 hours. So that's when you can do your skin-to-skin breastfeeding, measurements of baby, having any family come in to meet the new little one, just kind of have some alone time as well. And then once you're ready and everyone has got you a new room, they can then escort you to your postpartum room.
Which are smaller and sometimes shared.
Yeah, if you get one of those rooms, I made the mistake once, you guys, of wanting, so, you know, I wanted my husband to be there for as long as possible. And I got a single room, but I thought it was a little too small. And I really wanted my husband to be able to have a bed. Don't necessarily do that, because then they put me in a room with two, you know, so it was a double room. And then they had this like influx of moms come in, and then it turned into I had a roommate because I was being, a little selfish and wanted a bigger room. So if they give you one of those single rooms, even though it's a little tighter, stick with it. That's my advice.
Well, I also let people know that some hospitals, they do have suites. So you can't, I mean, it is a little expensive, but you will have like a little kitchenette, a little sitting area, a much bigger room. You will have to pay for it, but you can have a postpartum recovery suite where people really love that. So then dads can bring maybe like a blow up mattress rather than those crummy, you know, fold down couches and the chair next to you. So there are birthing suites. It is an additional fee. The price varies per hospital, but that might be an option at your birth location.
I have never heard of that before.
Yeah.
We might not have those locally, but that sounds cool.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, our hospital, I was in my delivery room probably for a good 6 hours because they were experiencing like the busiest weekend they'd ever had. I think they had 4 or 5 multiple deliveries like that day. Like it was just insanely busy. And so, yeah, I had to stay in my delivery room for quite a while. And then I had roommates. So it was what it was.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps up our episode of Preggy Pals for today. Thank you so much, Nina Spears, for joining us and walking us through what a delivery room is all about and what to expect. For information about our show, as well as our expert, you can visit our episode page on our website. This conversation continues for members of the Preggy Pals Club. After the show, we're going to talk about what to expect in a birth center delivery room.
So before we wrap up our show, we have a segment called Pregnancy Brain Blunders, where you guys tell us all the crazy stuff happened to you as far as, you know, you just forget, you know, something that you're supposed to do, or you do something kind of silly because of that crazy pregnancy brain of yours, right? So this one I really appreciated. This comes from Laura, and Laura posted on our Facebook page. She said, I searched and searched for my glasses, and I was so upset because I just got them. She says, I used to wear contacts all the time. She was upset and crying. She says she called her husband. He comes home, looks at me and says, I see you found your glasses. I burst into tears crying because I hadn't found them. They were on my face all day. So it happens, right? Like we, you know, and I've done that with a bunch of different things. So Laura, I get it. You are not alone. I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that had something similar happen to them. And, you know, what are we going to do? All of our brain functionality is going towards, you know, creating a child, creating human life. So what are you going to do, right? But Laura, thanks so much for sending this in. If you guys have a funny story or something happened to you with your pregnancy brain that you just want to share with our audience, we would love to hear it. You can go to our website at newmommymedia.com, click on the contact link. You can also send us a voicemail through our website where you can share your story yourself. Just click on that gray banner on the side of our page at newmommymedia.com, says send voicemail, and you can send it that way.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Preggy Pals. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Newbies for Postpartum Moms During Baby's First Year, Parent Savers for Parents with Infants and Toddlers, Twin Talks for Parents of Multiples, and The Boob Group for Moms Who Breastfeed. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy, your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified health care provider.
How would you like to have your own show on the New Mommy Media Network? We're expanding our lineup and looking for great content. If you're a business or organization interested in learning more about our co-branded podcasts, visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.